case McCormick versus the Waukegan School District number 60.
C.J. Summers for Appellant Aaron McCormick.
Can you talk louder, please?
Sorry. I'm C.J. Summers for Appellant Aaron McCormick.
You're appointed counsel, are you not?
That's correct.
Thank you.
There are two questions in this case. One question that the defendants have essentially conceded, and one question on which their position is clearly contrary to the language of the Individuals with Disability Education Act. The first question is whether the IDEA provides any administrative relief for physical injuries, such as the muscle, tissue, and kidney damage that Aaron McCormick suffered when he was forced to perform certain physical exercises in his PE class. If it does not, if the IDEA does not provide a relief for those types of injuries, then by the specific language of the statute, Aaron was not required to exhaust administrative procedures, and it was improper to dismiss his claims, at least to the extent that they were seeking relief for physical injuries. The second question is if it was improper to dismiss Aaron's claims for physical injuries, and if those claims have to be remanded for trial, whether under the IDEA, Aaron is allowed to also bring a state law claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress. As I said, on the first of these issues, there's really no dispute in this case. The defendants have not identified any remedies under the IDEA for physical injuries. They completely elided this issue in their brief, and
accepting the fact you've got both the intentional infliction of emotional distress plus the physical injuries, what would be the appropriate way to pursue that? Would it be to pursue it under IDEA and then save those claims? I mean, I agree with you. I don't think there's any provision for recovery of pecuniary damages for what's the method that should have been used?
There's an important distinction. The intentional infliction of emotional distress claims that's a state law cause of action. It's very clear that Section 1415L of the IDEA says that exhaustion is only required when it is a claim that is brought under the Constitution, or other federal statutes that protect the rights of disabled children. This is a claim under the common law of the state of Illinois. So the IDEA's exhaustion requirement simply is irrelevant for that claim. It just doesn't matter whether there's any relief. So in this case, the appropriate inquiry by the district court was, is there relief for Aaron's federal claim? And his federal claim is a Section 1983 claim, and that claim is alleging physical injuries. So on the question of whether there's relief for physical injuries, all of the authorities are in agreement. The statute specifically limits any medical relief to diagnostic and evaluative purposes. It does not provide treatment, does not provide ongoing care, it does not provide any type of medical relief. And the cases reinforce that fact. The 10th and 9th Circuit have both confronted cases where the allegations were primarily for physical injuries, and they've both held that there's no relief under the IDEA in those situations, and therefore exhaustion.
What's his status with regard to the school system now?
He's graduated now. This case has been pending. He was injured in 2000, and he's in his freshman year, and he's now graduated from high school.
But it was filed while he was still attending.
It was filed approximately a year after his injury. The 10th Circuit opinion, Padilla, which we cite, involves a child who suffered a skull fracture which exacerbated a seizure condition. The 10th Circuit said that the remedies under the IDEA are oriented to providing prospective educational benefits and that they could not possibly begin to assuage severe physical and completely non-educational injuries. That's precisely the situation with Aaron's federal claim in this case. Similarly, in Witt, the 9th Circuit confronted a plaintiff who had suffered a litany of physical abuse, and they also held that he was not required to exhaust administrative procedures for those injuries. They said that the remedies under the IDEA are not well suited to addressing past physical injuries. And there's really no case to the contrary, and specifically this court's prior decision in Charlie F. is not to the contrary. That case involved a plaintiff who was alleging emotional injuries. He was the subject of teasing, suffered a reduction in his self-esteem, was picked on generally at school, and it had a resultant effect on his educational progress. None of those, and there are clearly remedies for some of those injuries under the IDEA.
Was he still within, Charlie F., do you recall in the facts, was he still within the school system?
He was within the school system, yes. So again, there's all of the authorities agree there is no remedy for physical injury, and the defendants did not dispute this. So really, this issue is settled. There's no dispute on this. Aaron's claims for physical injury should not have been dismissed, and this court should remand at least those claims. As to the second question, as I said, the exhaustion requirement under the IDEA specifically does not apply to state law claims, and so Aaron's allegation of intentional infliction of emotional distress cannot justify dismissing his case. If the court has no more questions, I will wait for a rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. My name is Tom Kanyak. Your Honor, there were sound reasons why Congress requires that there be exhaustion of administrative remedies prior to students hauling their educators into court. The IDEA is a carefully crafted piece of legislation. There are a myriad of factors taken into consideration by Congress in making balances between various factors. There are rights and obligations that run on behalf of both the students and the educators. The students have a right to free education and to free services they wouldn't get otherwise. Concomitant with that are obligations, such as to exhaust administrative remedies, to look at the IDEA as a whole. The educators have the obligations to provide services they might not have otherwise provided. But in exchange for that, they get the benefits of the administrative process. And those benefits are strong and important and ought to be emphasized in a case like this. What about the questions of findings of fact and investigation in the early stages? We act upon a presumption in litigation, a pleading presumption in this case, that this junior high school student is correct in making these strong assertions against the teacher. The teacher has to live with that for years in litigation. What about getting a finding of fact, an investigation early on? That is a benefit. That is fruitful, and it is not futile to do that. Thus, to the
suppose this claim didn't have the emotional aspect state law claim in it. Would it come within the IDEA?
It could potentially, and I don't think any court has directly addressed that issue. Luckily for us, we don't have to. Counsel conceded throughout his briefs, although did not mention now, that in the exhaustion issue, we look behind the allegations of the complaint to the nature of the claim. In a case such as you suggest, we would have to look at the particular nature of the claim and see if it really is not physical injury versus psychological injury, but rather whether it is a claim wherein there's not even the potential that there are available remedies versus a claim where there is the potential, that there may be applicable remedies. That's the true issue.
Well, but how do you, if there were physical injuries to be compensated, do you think the Act covers that?
To the extent that it requires corrective medical services, I agree that the Act would not cover that. That's how I would define that issue. Well, but I think in fairness, we should go a step further and say, in this case, looking behind the pleadings, is the nature of the case such that there may be remedies which are available?
such as corrective psychological services, which certainly are available, and diagnostic medical services, physical therapy, which are available, to look at the totality of the circumstances, to look at the IDA concerns as a whole. And that's what we need to do. If I may be so bold, I think that both parties in the briefs danced around the principal issue in the case. This is not a situation like the Padilla case, where the court took pains to define it as strictly something for which there was no remedy, a physical injury. That's not this case. I don't think that plaintiffs can say legitimately that there is no emotional aspect. They pled severe emotional distress, despair. They asked for the same thing in the counts pertaining to emotional injuries as they did for the physical injuries. Pecuniary damages. What could they possibly want pecuniary, what could they want money for as relates to an emotional claim, other than the very services which are required to be provided under the IDEA by the school district?
Do you think that proceeding under the IDEA would have told the time running on the any request for compensation for physical injury?
The school code itself has a supersedious provision. I don't want to be placed in a position here in this court of saying what our position will be upon remand, but I will try to answer your question by directing the court to the provisions pertaining to that. I think it would be a little unfair for me to say on the record right now what we would do if you remanded her. But certainly that's a consideration. Anyway, I want to emphasize what counsel did not emphasize in his argument, which is that this is a mixed hybrid case. And here's the problem. The Witt case, which was alluded to, was a mixed case as well out of the Ninth Circuit. But I found that case highly problematic and in conflict with this court's opinion in Charlie F. The Witt court said, well, we don't have to exhaust administrative remedies because they seek money damages. That was the core holding. Well, that's diametrically opposed to this court's opinion in Charlie F., which is the leading case for that proposition. And the Witt court never discussed what this court did in Charlie F. about the availability of counseling services. What I'm suggesting is, based upon the strength of the need to exhaust administrative remedies, about the carefully crafted statute, that in the mixed a hybrid case, you err on the side of applying the exhaustion requirement, keeping in mind that if you add up the days of how long it takes to exhaust requirements under Illinois law, it is only 55 days from requesting a hearing to release of the actual findings of fact. And in fact, that would be a benefit to the students because to the extent that there are aspects of the claim, and I think it's pretty clear in this case that there are, that may be covered, that the relief for those aspects of the claim would be given in 55 days rather than waiting through years of litigation in order to, simply because there may be aspects of the claim that are not covered. That's a good thing, and I think it's more in accordance with what Congress intended in its complex administrative scheme. Let me say a word, if I may, on the concept of intentional infliction count versus the Section 1983 count. We look behind the pleading to the nature of the claim. That doesn't mean we act as ostriches with our heads in the ground and pretend that plaintiff didn't actually plead that he suffered severe emotional distress for which he seeks pecuniary damages. I don't think that Congress intended that the exhaustion requirement depend upon how good the plaintiff's counsel is at drafting the complaint. All I'm saying on that point is that's your evidence right there that there may be an issue that's more appropriate for the educational experts to resolve. And if it turns out, as Judge Leinenweber said, that that's not the case, we'll see you in 55 days. And that's why I think you should err in a hybrid case on the side of requiring exhaustion of administrative remedies. I think that covers all of the main points. Unless you have any questions, I'll retire. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Galton.
I'm going to clear up a couple of things. I thought we had put the Witt issue to bed. It's very clear that that case is completely in line with this court's decision in Charlie F. As we noted in our reply brief, a later decision by the Ninth Circuit rejects exactly the interpretation that the defendants would have this court give it. It says that case did not say that any time a plaintiff seeks money damages, they are not required to exhaust. It said they are not required to exhaust when the in agreement with Charlie F. when you look behind the claims and you see that there is that the claim is about a physical injury. As to the time for exhaustion issue, I think it's a little bit deceptive if the point is to send the case back for exhaustion so that you can decide what remedies are left after the administrative procedures. Then presumably the plaintiff will have to actually undergo whatever school counselor sessions he or she is ordered to awarded in the proceeding. But the most important point that I'd like to make in response is this idea of this being a hybrid case is wrong on several levels. This is a case about a child with muscular dystrophy who was forced to perform exercises that damaged his kidneys, that caused permanent damage to his muscles. Now, it's a tort case, and so, of course, he's going to seek relief for whatever damages might flow out of that injury. We don't deny that his complaint asks for any relief he might be entitled to. And at the trial, he would testify to the effect that these physical injuries have had on his life. And it's possible that the judge could decide that those injuries justify an award for emotional distress. Now, that doesn't mean that exhaustion is required in this case for several reasons. First of all, if it did, then exhaustion would be required in every case. And that's clearly contrary to the statute, which explicitly circumscribes a narrow set, not a necessarily narrow, but a subset of cases where exhaustion is required when the claims are peculiarly under the auspices of the IDEA. This is not, again, such a case. As defendants have conceded, there is no relief for Aaron's primary injuries. And I would even go so far as to let the court know that although the IDEA did not place Aaron on the horns of this dilemma, his claim is for physical injuries. And if what is required for his case to go forward is for him to forego emotional distress damages, he's prepared to do that. I'm not sure that that's an appropriate step. I know it's not a step that's required by the IDEA. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. We will proceed to the next case, please.